we the smartest show in the Bay Area?
You guys are an intellectual feast for the smart sports fan in the Bay Area.
Wow.
You're pretty much the smartest guys on the radio.
I agree.
Good Lord, how big is your ego?
Are they the funniest show in the Bay Area?
Give it a laugh. Come on. You're a funny guy. Come on. Give me a laugh.
You are funny, dude.
Hit that S again.
Are they the coolest show in the Bay Area?
Hey, no white boys. They cool.
That's what people are saying.
You guys are phenomenal.
This is one of the most perfect ways that I could end my day, getting the chance to talk to Mr. Mark and Dan, you know?
We'll let you be the judge.
Oh.
All I know is it's a couple of Bay Area boys talking sports.
I know nothing.
Thanks.
It's Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
And let's go. How's everybody doing? 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr is on the show. I got something Christian McCaffrey related.
Okay.
I got something.
I look forward to it.
Well,
I got a lot with Christian McCaffrey.
I know you do. And I can't wait to hear all of it. I've heard some of it already.
A little bit.
Pretty interesting.
Well,
but this, hey, Grandy, will you get the numbers are numbers, and numbers are numbers unless they're my numbers, and then the numbers count.
Numbers are numbers,
thank you.
And numbers are numbers.
I got some numbers. Sometimes something, because I'm actually not, like, you know this about me, I'm not a numbers guy.
No.
I would much rather be involved in the emotional conversation of what's going on with what we watch. Certainly some numbers matter.
Numbers, apparently.
My numbers matter. Some are misleading. I always hated that show on ESPN, Numbers Never Lie. I'm like, they lie all the time.
Right.
All the time. But this one I noticed today. Shout out to Jeff Deeney, who covers the Niners. And he tweeted something out, and the minute I saw it, I went, oh my goodness, I think I've got something here. Listen to this, and you all tell me, what does this do for you when you hear this, okay? Through the first 8 games of the 49ers season, Brock Purdy attempted 29 passes down the field of 20-plus yards. 29 attempts in 8 games. That is 3.5 plus per game. 3.6 to be exact. 3.6 per game. 20 plus yards down the field. In the last 2 games, that number shrunk all the way to 0. None. Not one.
None passes.
Since the bye. No attempts. None. And I saw that and I went, all right, what's different in the last 2 games that was not the case in the first 8? What's different?
Well, a couple things. One, Christian McCaffrey's back. Captain Checkdown has returned, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's focus on Christian McCaffrey being back. Because when I saw that, that's where my head went, which is, do we actually have a security blanket problem? Do we have Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan both being so pleased that their number one weapon is back that they are indeed leaning on him too much? Too many of the play calls are centered around Christian. I saw videos this morning, all 22, where Juwan Jennings and Deebo Samuel, potentially, were open downfield. But Christian McCaffrey was opener 3 yards away from him. Check down. Now, he got a first down on that particular play, so that's fine. But are they leaning on Christian McCaffrey too much to the point where it is taking all of the other aspects of their game away? And the second piece of that is something we experience in sports all the time, like in the Warriors championship year when Klay Thompson re-entered the lineup halfway through the year and they immediately took a little dip. A great player came back, but they took a dip. Because you had to re-inject a major presence into your lineup and sort of re-get used to how to play. And maybe that's what the Niners are doing here. Look at the couple games leading in to when Christian returned. Now, they played the Chiefs once. I think that's the best defense in football, one of the best teams in football. They only scored 18 points. But the other 2 games before the bye with no Christian, there's your 30 Purdy. They scored 30 against the Cowboys. They scored 36 against the Seahawks on the road in prime time on short rest. Injuries all over the place. Offense was moving the ball then. Now, all of a sudden, Now they're averaging 20 points a game. They're trying field goals left and right and checking the ball down because Christian's back. I think in the short term, it's actually not been the best thing for that offense.
No, and it's been Kyle who's decided to play him 96% of the snaps. And so you have a couple of running backs, and I'm looking at the Dallas game when Jordan Mason was hurt and couldn't go, and Isaac Garendo almost had 100 yards. Isaac Garendo, a guy who was your fourth-string running back to start the year with Elijah Mitchell at the time, and J.P. Mason's been great, and so McCaffrey comes back, and then last week against Seattle, you play him all but two snaps. He played all but two snaps on offense, and he's not back to McCaffrey level. He's not doing what he used to do in the pass game. He's better. He certainly isn't doing it in the run game, and you could tell me that there aren't any holes open, but earlier in the year, it felt like that there were holes for Mason and for Garendo against Dallas, and Seattle's defense is not great. They're okay. It's an okay defense, and yet McCaffrey was unable to get even 4 yards a carry. So is it a question of the offense, the play calling, the O-line, or the fact that you're giving the ball 20-some times to a guy who's not really ready?
I mean, they're all good questions. What I can't tell yet, like, let's focus on that for a second, because I keep hearing people say, well, Christian's not 100%. Do we know that for sure? Like, what is it? I don't see him look like he's lacking speed. He's Christian McCaffrey. I'd argue he knows how to cut a run back. He knows how to hit a hole. He doesn't look slow to me. Are we sure that he's not 100%? Or are we just saying that because he hasn't gotten any chunk plays in the first two games?
We're saying that because when you see it, he doesn't have that same like jump cut ability that I'm used to seeing where he gets to a spot and he's able to jump out and explode out and make something else happen. I see a guy who is getting the ball, running the play, and doing his darn best, and he's getting, you know, about 4 yards a carry, 19 for 79 against Seattle, and he had 4 catches for 27. It's fine. 23 touches for 106. That's basically 5 yards a touch, which is acceptable, question mark. But when you're dealing with a guy who is top five in the MVP and he's widely seen as the best two-way running back in football, this is not up to his standard. And yet, Kyle Shanahan and country in company, Bobby Turner, the running back coach, they felt like giving him the ball, giving him every opportunity was the best way to go forward. And I look at it, and I've watched the game now 3 times, and Jordan Mason had 2 carries, and they both were pretty forceful and pretty successful and pretty aggressive, and yet that's all he got. He was on the field for 2. He got the ball twice, and that was it.
Uh-huh.
Game over. And that, to me, is something where, you know, I don't know if you feel like you owe it to Christian McCaffrey.
Oh, I hope not.
Me either, but you know, you got a guy who was leading the league in rushing. He was top 2 for 6 or 7 weeks.
I think he's still top 10, isn't he? He didn't even play
anymore.
Yeah, there's 3 weeks of football. And
he was playing great. And I'm not using his shoulder injury as an excuse, but I will say that he had fewer carries in those games, and he had fewer yards. That's just a fact, a statistical fact. And now he seems to be healthy again, and yet he can't get on the field.
He's 12th now, by the way. He's 12th in the league in rushing.
Okay.
Just 703 yards.
Yards per carry, he's probably up there top 2.
Yards per carry, he is... that kind of changed to... all the people who have like 2 carries.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He's up there though. He's definitely up there. He's averaging over 5 yards a carry. That's pretty good. I'm seeing Saquon Barkley's at 5.8. Derrick Henry's at 6. Jahmyr Gibbs 6. These are the guys who are Chuba Hubbard 5.1. Jordan Mason 5.1. Lamar Jackson 6.1.
Jaden Daniels, 5.2.
Yeah, the new kid with the New York Giants, Tyrone Tracy, is at 5.1. Yeah, that's elite stuff. That's elite stuff. I think, actually, what we're talking about both ends up in the same eye of the storm. The bottom line is, I think, short sample, and I get it, he's the reigning offensive player of the year, but it feels like, 2 weeks in, you are leaning too much on Christian McCaffrey. That's what it feels like to me. From Jordan Mason has been suddenly relegated to the bench to the number that I see, which is you have completely stopped throwing the ball downfield, like entirely.
Right.
You just stopped, like not one, 2 full football games. And not once did you even attempt to throw the ball 20 yards downfield. That feels like too much focus on Christian McCaffrey. And if I'm a defensive coordinator going against the Niners, that's what I'm going to focus on. And if you focus on one thing, you're probably going to be able to stop it. And what opens it up for those players is if you start getting other people involved. You keep the defense honest. You open up some run lanes for McCaffrey by hucking the ball over the defense's head when they fill up the box.
Yep.
So
I do think that Kyle kind of addressed it yesterday when he talked about Seattle playing a lot of too high shell with the cover two with the two deep safeties. When you've got two safeties deep, it's going to be really hard to throw the ball 20 and 30 yards down the field because that's why they're back there. So I do think that that limits what you can do against a defense like that. But at the same time, you can, you know, scheme up other ways to get throws 10, 15 yards down the field. I think you're right, Mark. It looked like against Seattle was a lot of just, you know, get back there. Pass rush was beating the pass blocking, and it was a lot of just quick check downs and trying to get rid of it.
888-957-9570. We always love it when you want to connect with the show. Dennis in the city has called. Hey, Dennis, thank you for calling.
How you doing, guys?
What's up?
Not much. It's great conversation. I think that, looking at Kyle Shanahan's decisions since McCaffrey's come back, just like what you guys were saying, I don't understand why he didn't ease McCaffrey back in. Mason was running the ball well. We could keep running the ball with Mason and McCaffrey and use McCaffrey in pass situations, but don't use the guy the whole game. He, like you say, he's had no training camp. He's just coming back. And I believe that the reason why McCaffrey was injured to begin with, because last year it was McCaffrey left, McCaffrey right, McCaffrey up the middle, never give him a break. Me and my sons would watch the games and just go, why doesn't he ever run Mason or Mitchell? Give McCaffrey a break. And now he doesn't learn by his mistakes. He did the same thing with Mostert. When Mostert was playing for this team, he brought him back after injuries, and he ran him like in the Rams game 17 times in the first half. Mostert got hurt and never came back the rest of the year. And this is what we're facing again. He doesn't learn by his mistakes.
Well, Dennis, I want to split the difference on your point. Thank you for the call. It's a good call. I never want to do this where you blame an injury on. He got hurt because XYZ last year. That's not fair. Yeah. You don't know
there's
that.
There's only one that I've been able to do that and felt good about.
Which was what?
Trey Lance.
He
ran him into the ground.
Even that.
But I don't want to get back to that. Even that,
they're playing football, man. Yeah. Like, I don't know why someone got hurt. They got hurt because somebody hit them in the you-know-whats, and yeah, Now they're hurt. Like, so I don't want to A to B on that. And I would defend Kyle circumstantially on Christian McCaffrey usage. I'd argue that even though maybe, for instance, Dennis disagrees, I didn't want Christian McCaffrey taking a bunch of breathers last year. He was the offensive player of the year, and the Niners were awesome.
Yeah, fair.
And they're scoring ridiculous points, and Christian McCaffrey led the world in touchdowns. Why the hell would you take him off the field? I'm not worried about two, three, four years down the road.
Last year.
This is different.
Thank you.
Now is different than then.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And I look at Jordan Mason's snap count, and it was 54 against Kansas City, 11 against Dallas. He got injured. 3 against Tampa, 2 against Seattle. So this guy now has been officially put on ice.
He's played five snaps since the bye
in 2 games, including the last game where he 2 snaps, 2 carries, 13 yards. Thank you, hit the showers.
I mean, I think the question we're all heading toward is what would you like to see this 49er offense do differently? Because we're here now, folks. We're here. There's no more wiggle room. They've got to change, and they have 2 really difficult games, and they're going to have to be amazeballs in order to get something good out of this season. So what would you like to see from this offense that you're not seeing right now from Kyle Shanahan and company? We'll take your calls on that, 888-957-9570. Steve Kerr is later on in the program. We're sponsored by Lucky California, Willard and Dibbs. What does your bust mean?
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
By the way, that got all twisted. He got all twisted yesterday.
Yeah.
That's the one part I hate is when you ask, and nobody cares about this, but just give me like 15 seconds to get it off my chest. Yeah. When you ask a rhetorical question, like you and I are sitting here having a conversation.
Right.
I don't know where it's going to go next. And you like bring up a rhetorical question. And then the guys, no fault on them, they're going to put it on social media. They're like, oh, this was kind of a, right? This was an interesting question or whatever. And then everybody on social media takes it as your take.
Right, right.
Which is like the whole...
Well, those words came out of your mouth.
Stand on it.
Right.
Stand on what you say. Stand on what you do.
Yeah, I will. I will ask the question. I can't stand the phrase Super Bowl or bust. I've never liked it. So what I was actually doing was trying to challenge the people who used it to say, what does that mean?
What does what mean?
So what does your bust mean? What does your bust
Thank
mean?
You.
So, because it looks like we're like knocking on the door of bust, right?
Right.
And Super Bowl or bust?
I told you
bust
what that
is
means.
Bust is a big old favorite.
Right.
So I'm challenging people to say, what does that mean to you? Is it just you getting frustration off your chest?
No.
Or are you suggesting... fill in blank. And you did yesterday.
Right.
You said changes.
Yes, David
below.
Bowie. Changes.
But not like firing Kyle and John and Parag.
No. They're Teflon.
Right.
They're Teflon for now. If you go 8-9, then next year, you're not on the hot seat. But if you go 8-9 this year, and then next year starts the way this year started, now we can have a different conversation. 12 months from now, if you've gone... 9-8 over the course of those games with a quarterback that you just decided to pay X amount of millions of dollars. Well, now we can start to think about like what are we actually looking
at? Yes, I think the leash is even longer than that.
And you're probably right
personally, but I also would argue that means we need to change the word. I know it's catchy, Super Bowl or bust.
It's
but
a phrase.
The word bust means it didn't work.
Well, for me,
and it's
bust
kind of
means...
Like Trey Lance is a bust. That means it didn't work, at least with the Niners.
He was one pick away from playing last
James
night.
James Wiseman. I don't know why he's not playing now. Why the hell did you acquire him if you're not going to play him in this scenario?
No doubt.
You're now 3-7. You suck out loud. Cooper Rush is not a player. Guru, I'm
sorry.
He had
a couple good drives last night.
He is not a player. That's not a player. You're not going anywhere. You're actually going to be helped by getting a better draft pick. Why would you acquire Trey Lance if you're not going to put him in now? I don't even understand that.
Agreed. Agreed.
I don't understand that.
And they have 7 more to go, so
maybe they will.
Is the time. But for me, the idea of Super Bowl or bust means not that you're going to break the whole thing apart and fire Kyle and fire John and fire everybody and sell the team. That's nonsense. But you will have to take a look at your process. And you and I always go back and forth about process versus results.
Sure.
You're a process guy. I'm a results guy. And if your results are negative, then you do have to look at your process.
Of course.
And your process has been Kyle Shanahan does everything. That's been the majority of the process.
Right.
He is like the de facto GM. He's the play caller. He's the head coach. He controls the red hanky, the timeouts, the clock management. I know he does get some advice on some of that stuff from up above upstairs. But for me, the process would be something you'd have to look at.
I also struggle with this. And then this is my bet in terms of how Jed York would handle this conversation if he were sitting here in the room. Like, okay, so let's say this year does not get better. Now you have a bad year. Well, if your process led to 5 consecutive good years and then one bad one, is it time to look at your process? Or is it time to just be like, well, so that didn't work this time. And there were a bunch of factors that we've all been talking out. We all understand the factors, whether it's emotional exhaustion, injuries, vibes, whatever the hell you want to get
holdouts,
to. Yeah.
Play
like,
calling.
Like, I guess that's sort of my point and what I tried to say yesterday, which is that Kyle Shanahan is not having a good year. He's having a bad year. He's not a bad coach.
Agreed.
He's having a bad year. I don't take what I'm seeing this year to suddenly crater. And I hear this a lot. We're now cratering. We're going to just pick apart and act like all the things that have happened over the last 5 years didn't happen. And you're largely going to use as evidence that they lost to the Chiefs twice in February games. And I don't buy that. I don't think that this year and two losses to the Chiefs mean that Kyle Shanahan's a fraud.
No,
I just don't think that. Yeah.
But I also can look at it and see teams have now figured out how to scheme defensively against this offense. Teams are doing a better job of limiting this offense. This offense has been terrible in the red zone with McCaffrey, without McCaffrey. They still haven't been good. So I do think that defenses now, by and large, are trying to limit the big play, limit the yak, and make this offense go down the field 10, 12, 14 plays and score a touchdown, which they haven't really done this year. And I also look at a team that is getting old. Your left tackle, he held out, and he's not had a great year. He's been fine.
He's not been bad.
He's been good. He's been good.
I can't think of any games where Brock's on the ground and I'm like, Trent.
No, but he is an older player who's committing more cheater penalties where he's cheating early or he's lining up too far back because he's cheating.
Maybe he should go play for the Chiefs.
Maybe.
Where it's allowed.
Exactly. Those calls wouldn't happen. And unfortunately, he's wearing the wrong red jersey.
Yeah.
I look at a team that's getting older and a scheme that's getting solved. And so, yeah, we can talk about Kyle. He's not a fraud, but what's the adjustment, Kyle?
Yeah.
No, I'm not seeing it.
I think that's totally fair. So, again, what do you want to see at Lambeau Field? What do you want to see at the not-quite-yet-frozen Tundra this weekend that you haven't been seeing from the Niner offense? 888-957-9570, the number. GPD's on the line in Hayward. What's up, Grandpa Daddy?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's going on?
You know what? I tell you what. In the morning, I take my daughter to school. I listen to Bonte. And then when I'm out in the middle of the day, I'm listening to Goo and Steiny. And now I'm picked up the scissor lift. I got to take it back to the rental, and I'm listening to you. One thing I want to know is do the Niners, do they have someone who listens to the critique of what they're doing? Like, you guys had a very good stat that you just said about Brock Purdy now not throwing the ball because McCaffrey's back, so he has a security blanket check down. You know what? When you're running a business, an organization, anything, you have, and it's not going well, you have to listen to your critics to see what are you doing wrong. Do they have somebody listening to what's said on the radio? I mean, like, I'm going to give you guys credit, and don't let this get to your head. But that's a very good observation. Why don't they have people check in the airwaves and see if they can learn about what they're doing wrong? Because right now, brother, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
No, GPD, thank you for the call. And it's an interesting question. I'll say this. I'm certainly nowhere near arrogant enough to think that we've got all the answers and the Niners need to be listening to us. I think they know a hell of a lot more about football than we do. But the other part of the question, do the Niners have somebody reviewing what the media and fans are saying publicly? I would say it in a more organic way, they do. Like, one thing I've learned through the years, especially when you hear athletes and coaches, I don't read the papers, I don't listen to the radio, I don't watch the TV. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. That most of them do. I don't know if Kyle is actually one of them. He might not be. You can sort of tell when somebody is literally like locked themselves in a room for their entire life.
Yeah.
And he might be one of those guys.
Who do we know is the petty king?
Steph Curry?
Yes.
Steph Curry hears everything.
Exactly. And Clay heard everything. And these guys
here. What's up, Steph? He listening.
I'm shocked you're talking to me.
Where are they right now? Where are they? Where's their next game?
It's home.
Right.
Home tomorrow.
So they're here.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're listening. Hi, Steph.
Hey, Steph. Make a three, dog. You're open.
Stop. Although
that was a tough one. GP2 was the one who was open.
Well, and he got the shot, and it was at the buzzer. And that
shoot
was
your shot. Yeah, it's all you got.
All
and
you
Steve
got.
Kerr reportedly was asking to call timeout there before the GP2
before
three.
It.
I'm going to ask him about that at 5 o'clock today.
They didn't hear him. They didn't hear him.
And I wonder what that, and I'm going to ask him what that's like.
Dive on the court.
Well, you have to stay in the coaching box. And if all three refs are on the other end, which they were.
And it's loud.
It's super loud.
Into it, Dome.
You get that wall of fans behind the bucket.
They were into it.
What's he supposed to do?
I mean, just.
Oh, time out, guys. I'd like a time.
Hawk a red hanky at them. Totally. And they're like, wrong sport, coach. Yep. I don't know. We'll ask Steve all of that stuff. But anyway. Do the thoughts of the fans and the media and the critics and whatever, do they make their way into the 49er facility like any other? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I don't think that that means they're all supposed to now go do what we say. I don't know how to call a play in the NFL. You know, I can sit here and tell you that whatever the adjustments have been to what defenses are doing to the 49ers right now, they're not good enough. They're not pronounced enough. There are other players that I would like to see involved more, you know, not just Jordan Mason. I don't like that Ricky Pearsall only got two targets in that game. He might be their fastest receiver right now. Actually, I don't even think he might be. He definitely is. Jacob Cowing, but he's never on the field. So, like, that's what you got. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
Yep.
You can't just, like, jam the ball to Juwan on every play. Or check down to Christian, which sort of feels like what they're doing. It does. It feels stale. It feels stagnant. My guess, though, is the 49ers know that. They know that. They know they lost.
Right.
And they know that they're not moving the ball. Now, what I don't know is if you're Kyle Shanahan, are you looking at this going, man, I have not adjusted my scheme enough? Or are you like, dude, we win that game if y'all stop holding and doing false starts?
I'm sure more the latter than the former.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he's thinking on that end.
Well, I would look at what he said yesterday in his teleconference where he mentioned that he can't remember another time where there was a drive that took 14 plays and had 8 plays across the other team's 50 that ended with a punt. It didn't end with a missed field goal or a touchdown or a turnover. It ended with a punt. And that was the second to last drive before the end of the first half where they held the ball and it was back it up, go forward, back it up. 3rd and 11, Juwan gets 12, back it up, go forward. 14-play drive, and you wound up punting because you had so many penalties and Banks was involved, and that might have been the double McKivitz or that might have been later. But offensively, you're making way too many mistakes with penalties. But the other piece of it is Ricky Pearsall, no catches, 2 targets. Deebo Samuel, and Grandy shared this on our show thread, he's one of only 3 running backs, ball carriers, with 25 or more carries on the year with a less than 3-yard average. 1 of 3.
That's crazy, too, because Deebo also, like, at least half of his carries come in a formation and such a way that's designed to get him the ball in space.
Right.
Deebo is not like other running backs who's often just being fed the ball right up the middle of the field. He is getting jet sweeps. He's getting tosses. He's getting misdirections that are designed to get him to the side of the field before the defense gets there. And that's an unbelievable average to be below 3 yards per carry.
And in this last game, his best carry, which I think would have gone for 7 yards, was called back because of a hold. Juwan Jennings on the edge where he just basically hugged up on a guy.
Also means he's broken none because the average goes way up. If you just like, 2 yards, 2 yards, 2 yards, 48 yards, touchdown. Your average goes through the roof.
He went 8 for 23 in the opener. And he's gone 2 for -10, 2 for 14, 3 for 9, 4 for 15, 4 for 15, 3 for 14, 1 for -1.
Crazy. So he hasn't had 20 yards rushing in a game since the opener.
He's had 1 run of 10 or more yards. 1 run.
God.
And it was against Tampa. He went for 12.
Dang.
His next longest was for 8 against New England. And then he's got a 7 and a couple of 6s and a 5. And
I got a hard time believing that Deebo just got old overnight. I know that that's the popular deal of the week. Oh, Debo's not the guy he used to be. I think
it's a mix of that and also defenses now seeing, look, Deebo in jet motion. I wonder what's going to happen here.
They gave
it to him.
Like, you might be right, but I share what you just said there.
It's predictable, yeah.
But the second part of it is, I got this. So suddenly Christian doesn't look right and Deebo doesn't look right. And whoever else you want, you know, I know Juwan is kind of new to the party having this big of a role, but like all of the sudden, all of them are just slower. than they used to be? They all got old?
No, I don't think that's fair as a blanket statement, but Christian McCaffrey just played his second preseason game.
Yep.
And that he had no preseason, and so you're asking him to hit the ground running, literally and figuratively, and he had two games so far, and they've been preseason-esque. He doesn't look like he's ready for the regular year, yet these games count. Debo, I do think, looks a little bit sluggish. He doesn't look to be as forceful after contact. George Kittle being out absolutely crushes your offense. And then where else do you want to go? Eric Saubert is a blocker. Ricky Pearsall, as you said in the summer, he's a rookie. You can't expect him to go full Puka Nacua. Most rookies do this. Good game, okay game, quiet game. And then rinse and repeat. And who else are we talking about on this offense? Jordan Mason, mothballed. Ronnie Bell, Chris Conley, they don't throw to him.
Now we're getting to people that aren't already, really,
what else are we relevant. Doing here, right? Yeah. Oh, Juwan Jennings, monster. Yeah. Monster.
Yeah, but also not terribly open. He's just large, and he pulls the ball away from other people and then shoves them off of him. He's not running around wide open that often.
That's
sometimes.
True.
888-957-9570. You know, what if we threw it at you this way? Like, big game in 5 days in Wisconsin, and just everything on the line. And so if you had 30 seconds to sit down in front of Kyle Shanahan and say something to him, what would you say?
Run 21 pony, which is two running backs, one tight end with Jordan Mason and Christian McCaffrey. Get Jordan Mason on the field. Run 21 pony, okay. And I know you don't want to throw it to Mason, so go ahead and motion McCaffrey into the slot. So now you have Juwan and Debo and Kittle, hope he plays, and you've got Mason and McCaffrey. Those are your five best eligibles. Get those five on the field. Your laminated play sheet is gorgeous, second only to your hair. Get Jordan Mason the ball. Let him try to be impactful in the run game. Put McCaffrey in the Debo role. Put Debo in the Juwan role. Juwan's already in the Ayuk role. And let's go, baby. Run your offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that 30 seconds? Because I'm passionate about that.
I think you fit it. I think you fit it. Plus, like any set of meetings, like
you're about to buzz me out. 31.7.
Plus or minus five. I'll give it to you.
You can have a little extra time.
Granny's just mad at me because fade the Diver. I got a win last night, so everyone's down on me for actually getting one right.
Yeah. Why'd you do that?
Because you know what?
I thought you were a man of the people.
I'm about to get hot.
No, you're not.
The Thursday pick is in.
I don't even know why
started.
You use that word. You haven't been hot since I've known you.
Like, I wear hoodies.
When the hell have you ever won three games in a row in the history of your life?
Well, I would tell you when, but Grandy, I can see, is opening up the spreadsheet, and he's about to say, no, Dibs, your best stretch was 3 out of 4, but it wasn't 3 in a row.
You won 3 in a row. Your second, third, and fourth picks of the year, actually.
Let's go.
But since then, you have
not. He wasn't 3-1.
He was 3-1.
LFG.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was.
I don't believe you.
The spreadsheet does not lie. I'm one game below.
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. The Thursday pick is in, and I got something special for you Niner fans on Sunday.
Yeah. Stop it.
I got something special for you.
You have never won or lost more than 3 in a row.
Right.
Yeah.
Mr. Coin Flip. Boom, boom.
Yeah. So in other words, you can go to Vegas for a full month and just come home with...
Break even.
Whatever the hell you ate.
Totally.
Like, I mean, all right, let's go to T.I. in Oakland. Again, if you had 30 seconds to talk to Kyle, what would you say? Hey, T.I.
Hey, fellas, how you doing?
What's up?
Oh, not much. I'm kind of, Dibs kind of took my thought, but I'm going to say it anyway. I want to see a smorgasbord of personnel. I want to see Christian out there. I want to see Mason out there. You know, Debo, of course, if Kittle is healthy, him out there. But if Kittle is not healthy, what about Juszczyk in that position? They need to go for it, man. If they plan on making the playoffs, they need to do something different. And of course, the motions and the shifts. Kyle is a good play caller, man, but he just needs to energize his play calling with some different nuances, if you will. I think they have what they need, man. They just need to put it together this week.
All right, T.I., thank you very much. This is one thing that concerns me, and Brian Baldinger was on with the roast this morning, and so everyone this week is talking about that stat, like the lack of separation, and the guys aren't getting open. And you do look at the receiving core now, and this is why I would love to see Pearsall get a little bit more responsibility, because you look at the receiving core right now, and you're like, oh, I kind of get it. You know, who's going to beat man coverage? Debo's not a traditional receiver, and he's not the fastest, shiftiest guy. Juwan Jennings is a house, and he's fantastic, but that's also not his thing. Like, who's stretching the field? Who's pushing the ball downfield? Who's doing it with speed? Listen to what Baldy said about the Niners' lack of separation.
There's an old belief in this business. If you can't beat man coverage, you got to get new wide receivers. Juwan Jennings wins because of his size, not because of his separation. And he's very good at just low post basketball when the ball's in the air. So he had a good day. That's what I would do to Debo. Like, it, so if your guys are struggling to separate, then you've got to find different ways to get guys open, whether it's bunch formations, whether it's man beaters, crossers, stack routes. I mean, you got to go in a different direction to get guys open. I would say that's part receivers and part Kyle right there.
Part Kyle right there. Yeah, like then and so
stackers, crossers, rubs, just,
man,
bumps,
like whatever the hell you
junk.
Got in that hip pocket. Yep. It's time to bring it out. You're 5-5 and your playoff analytics are down to 15% if you lose on Sunday and you're an underdog for the first time in 2 years.
Yeah.
So like this is an empty the bucket game.
It's a desperation sensation.
Whatever the hell you got, man, you got to do it and it has to not rely. It has to not rely on Debo Samuel outrunning a cornerback.
I do think a lot of it relies on George Kittle, and if he is unable to go, then you're going to have to find a new way to junk it up. And I look at the Seattle game, Mark, and just looking at the snap counts, Jalen Moore played 12 plays as the sixth offensive lineman. So you didn't have a true blocking tight end outside of Saubert. So you ran six O-linemen 12 times, and yet you still weren't really able to impact the ground game. And, you know, Saubert, for all he can do as a blocker, is not a pass catcher. So I just want to see you put your five best eligibles out there more often.
I mean, it sounded to me yesterday like when the answer about Kittle is we expect him to be at practice on Wednesday, it sounds like they're expecting him to play this weekend.
Yes, yeah. And I can't imagine Kittle at Lambeau.
Come on.
I mean, right?
With the season on the brink.
Thank you. I can't imagine him not playing. Now, Bosa, different question.
Very different question.
In a different injury, I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to say one injury versus the other, but
might need to outscore the Packers.
Yeah,
I know, and I don't mean that in the stupid way.
Now go ahead and cut that, Grandy. That was
you might have to win an offensive shootout.
Exactly with 30 because they can score now.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. A little Herm for you.
Presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years. A full-service banking with no compromises. Doc, in an hour, does Christian McCaffrey not look at his best, and what is knee bursitis? Steve Kerr, in 2 hours, we continue with you. If you had 30 seconds with Kyle, what would you say? 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibbs.